Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you just to give you the glory for who you are. We thank you for the manifestation of your spirit that bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of the Most High God. And we just give you glory for all that you do. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. One of the things that I'm going to deal with on today is information that will continue to bring us into an understanding of who we are, how we're supposed to think as the as the G race, as the people of the kingdom of Yah, the sons of the kingdom of Yah, and in doing so, there are a lot of things that that we will continue to come into an understanding of, and from coming into that understanding, it will bring challenges to other people. Also will be a challenge to you. One thing you're going to realize, if you already haven't, is that when you stand for the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us Yah, it puts you in a position, or it will put you in a position where, Yah, stick with that, it puts you in a position where it can be a lonely place. Now, what I mean by that, I'm talking about a lonely place from a perspective of what you understand. And the understanding that you have, you'll find so many people who either don't understand or understand things to a certain extent, but refuse to submit to that understanding. Or you will have people that that will fight with everything that they know in order to attack you for what you understand and what they don't. In other words, there's a lot of things that come with this here. And you have some wonderful experiences, but then at the same time you have some experiences that that can be quite challenging. Because in walking in the truth, walking in the truth that you understand, it's, it can be a very lonely place. I mean, it's one thing when you get people who are agreeing with everything that you say, but then it's another thing when you get people who fall in all the categories of what I just discussed. Either they don't understand, or they'll try to fight you based upon that understanding. They just refuse to adjust. Just a combination of those things. And so, as you guys can testify or can confirm, that we've been learning a lot of things these last few years. And a lot of understandings have come across, have come across our ears, and at the same time, we have turned some doctrines upside down with the things that we've come into understand. We've come into understanding of, and it's been. I know, because it's been that way with me. It's been challenging to you. You run into a lot of people who have gotten behind some leader, who had all these thoughts and things like that. And before it was said and done, some crazy stuff went on with that group, and they were labeled as some kind of, you know, radical religious group that, you know, had this crazy leader who tried to lead them into some doctrines that's not lining up with the scriptures, you know, or at least perverting the scriptures and things like that. So it's been a challenge to me from a perspective of things that Yah has shown me in the scripture and things that I understand. And again, I know it's a challenge to you to have to deal with something that's so different than what we've all been accustomed to hearing and what we've understood. It's been very, very challenging. I have to admit, I've even said on occasion, you know, and every time I even hate to say this at that point, because Alan go to grinning and running his mouth, and I'd be like, you know, looking at him saying, shut up. You know, I'd be looking at him saying, shut up, and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes I'll just sit there and be like, you know, why me, y'all? Why you have to show me all this stuff? You know, well, why you couldn't have shown somebody else? You know, why you couldn't have shown some famous preacher and gave him the mindset to teach these things? And, you know, I wouldn't have mind hearing it and adjusting to it. I wouldn't have mind being a follower of the things that we've come into understanding, you know. You know, why me? You know, and Alan always jump in and say, okay, well, why not you kind of deal? And even with teasing me, talking about getting a T-shirt saying stuff about the kingdom, and then, you know, have stuff about the kingdom on the front, and then on the back it said, why not me kind of deal? You know, just kind of, you know, make me accept that the fact that there are some things happening, you know, in my life, and there's no way I'll be able to get around it. So, but this lesson tonight is going to be one of these such lessons. Had a guy to tell me a while back, he said, Yah's going to use you to knock down the pillars of the church. And what he meant by that is that there is so much doctrine going on, and from some perspectives of what Yah was revealing to me in his word, that it was going to cause a big radical disturbance in the church. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Yah is delaying some things with our projects and things like that, some stuff we still want to do in Honey Grove. Y'all continue to be in prayer about Honey Grove. Just so much stuff going on as far as that is concerned. And, you know, again, it's just people angry with our ministry in all areas, in East Texas, down in Honey Grove, here up in Dallas, and where it's headed in the world. But then at the same time, Yah said this to me. He said, there are people who love you, and there are people who love the ministry and what it's about and what it does. And so on the other hand, you know, you have sinful things happening to us from the perspective of our projects, both here in Dallas and also in Honey Grove. You have some sinful things that's going on, but then the scripture says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So on the other hand, we will have much more grace going on here in Dallas and also in Honey Grove, you know, from a perspective of our lives and then our projects. So this lesson we're getting ready to go into tonight is, again, I'm finna shake you again. Every time you sit here, you just expect for something that we've at least considered or understood in our past. We just gonna dig up the foundation of it or change that. You know, the foundation is Christ. We're just gonna dig up the superstructure of it and start to lay a new building or continue to lay new bricks or new superstructure on the foundation of Jesus Christ. All right. We'll start out in Proverbs chapter 24. But before we do that, I'm going to allow you to hear a song that is the root of this lesson on tonight. okay? Let me see if I can. You got this here working. If you can, you can just do this one here.
Okay.
And I just put my this here up against it.
Well, in that case,
just plug that into. Oh, yeah, I went blank. Now, this is a song. Now, I'll let you guys listen to it for just a little bit, and then we'll jump into the lesson.
Back up again.
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 Okay. Now, I was trying to find the actual song that, what a scripture was quoted in reference to that. I think it's on the original CD, but I just went on YouTube to try to find it and just to let you hear it. That's why I let the whole thing play. I thought that he was going to quote that like he did, I believe, on his CD or something like that. But in a nutshell, this song is written based upon Proverbs 24. Well, not Proverbs 24. Is it? Yeah, that's it. That's Proverbs 24. I was there. Now, in order to understand this here, we're going to start at verse 15. Because, like I said, the goal here is always about understanding. And when we don't understand, we can take something and have good intentions with a specific thing, but in turn, it can lead a lot of people astray. Okay? I've always thought that song was a wonderful song, and as I can tell, some of y'all was enjoying it, and that's okay. But after the night, I don't know how you receive it, but verse 15 says, lay not wait.
Pastor, what chapter?
Yes.
What chapter?
Oh, Proverbs 24, verse 15.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. So when you look at verse 15 is dealing with two types of individuals. First one that's mentioned in verse 15 is the wicked man. Now, when you look at the word wicked, the word wicked means morally wrong, a bad person, concretely a bad person, an actively bad person, condemned, guilty, ungodly, wicked man that did wrong. Okay. Now, when you look at, that's the first one that's mentioned. When you look at the next man that's mentioned, it says, or in a nutshell, it's dealing with the man that is righteous. Righteous means just. Okay? Remember that then. Righteous means just. It also means lawful. Righteous man. Okay, now, when you go back up to verse 15, it says, lay not wait, O wicked man. So it's telling the wicked man something in reference to the righteous man. Okay? It is making a clear distinction between one and a wicked man in reference to a righteous man. All right? So it says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not. When you look at the word spoil, it means, in a nutshell, destroy, oppress. You can classify it as rob. Okay? Waste.
So when it looks at this from the perspective of the wicked man, it is saying, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling place, okay, against the resident, dwelling place, resident, of the righteous. Now, when you look at the dwelling place of the righteous, it is not necessarily saying the home of where he lives or she lives. It is letting us know where that righteous person dwells. There's a home for the righteous. Okay? There's a home, and so it's when it's saying lay not in wait, you deal with the word wait, it says lurk or ambush. So to ambush is it could be at a righteous man's home, but that's not the main focal point, because it lets us know in a nutshell that the righteous man has a dwelling place. And yeah, it may be his home, but it's deeper than that, because the righteous man dwells in something. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of his Almighty. Shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I would say of the Lord, he is my refuge, dwelling place, my fortress, my Yah, in him will I trust. And so when you look at this, yeah, it can be a physical dwelling place, but when you start dealing with the deepness of it, it lets us know that righteous man dwells in a place, and Yah, or the word is warning the wicked man about lurking and waiting on that righteous man who dwells in a place or in a dwelling place. Okay, now, verse 5, lay not wait on wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. See, spoil not his couch, where he lay down. Spoil not his resting place. Now you have a colon there, because the colon brings the clear understanding of what the passages, or what these two verses is really about. And from bringing into a clear understanding of what these verses is really about, it lets us know that what this next verse is about has nothing to do with the song. It says, for a just man falleth 7 times. Now wait a minute. It doesn't say the wicked man, because that's what a sinner is. We can't be both. We either the sinner or we the righteous. All have sin. All may have issues that pertain to sin in one fashion or another. But yet at the same time, because we believe in Christ and because we belong to Yah, we have been declared or decreed righteous. Righteous. So I'm no longer classified from a perspective of a sinner. I'm the righteous now. Now, when you look at the colon now, it speaks only to someone who remains or who is willing to dwell in that place of verse 15. Y'all hear me now. It says now, for a just man falleth. When you look at the word falleth, it comes from a perspective of lie down, because remember we're talking about the couch or resting place in the verse before. It says now, for a just man is overthrown or overwhelmed. We look at falleth, it deals with overthrown or overwhelmed. So this has nothing at all to do with sin, because the just man because the wicked man is being warned about this just man. So the wicked man is the one who is doing the doing to make the just man fall. But yet the scripture is warning the wicked man concerning the just man. Look at the verse now. Verse 15 says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. So Yah is speaking to the wicked man. Wicked man, don't you now wait against the dwelling of the righteous? Spoil not his the righteous resting place. It lets us know that as the righteous, wickedness will try to wait for us to spoil our resting place. Then he says, for the just, here's why, wicked man, for the just man falleth. The just man may be overwhelmed. The just man may fall down. The just man may be thrown down. Falleth. 7 times. That's just something to let us know that it could be times over and over. So this has nothing to do with sin. This has something to do with being an attack from a wicked man. For a just man now falleth 7 times and riseth up again, colder. But the wicked, because it's showing the difference between the two. A just man will fall and rise 7 times. But the wicked now, that wicked, that man who is morally wrong, ain't talking about no sinner now from a perspective of rising up again, because those who operate from a perspective of being morally wrong, y'all say, I'll bring that down and it ain't going to get back up. That's how I know that it's doing wrong. Remember how we dealt with from the perspective of Proverbs, what was that, 20? That the bruises and the black and blue bruises are necessary and the stripes are necessary to deal with the evil that's in the belly. So when you look at it from that perspective, there are things that happen to us as far as when we do operate in wickedness that y'all say our lots of things happen to deal with you. It ain't from a perspective of me dealing with you and you rising up from a perspective of wickedness per se. When you look at it within the contextual meaning of this text, it is making a clear distinction between righteousness and unrighteousness. So I can't play both in this message. I can't play the saint who is a sinner who fall down and get back up again, because the scripture ain't telling me that. The scripture is making a clear distinction between the two. And it's saying to me and to you who operate in righteousness. Verse 16, for a just man falling is overwhelmed. For a just man now, end up being in a situation, is thrown down 7 times and rising up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now, when you look at the word mischief, it means adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, displease, harm, misery, not. And so when you look at it from this perspective, it lets us know that as the righteous, wicked stuff may come after us. Bad circumstance may happen to us. But because we stand in righteousness, we will always overcome whatever bad circumstance that happened to us. But yet a wicked man ain't going to rise up again. So this has nothing to do with us turning around, going, doing stuff we don't have no business doing, and call that falling down, and because we now realize we done messed up, and we get back up again, and then we fall down 7 times and get back up again, then we fall down 7 more times and get back up again, because we're a saint who is a sinner who fall down. That's a lie straight from hell. And I'll give you proof now. When you look at verse 16 again, it gives us an understanding of some principles so that we can be able to deal with this in a perspective that will cause us to operate in righteousness not never before. I'm going to run some scripture references on these verses, and we'll see how mankind has taken this thing and used this verse as an avenue to sin, and that song has further perverted it. Now, let me pull up some stuff together here. And we'll take a look at this in a little bit more detail now. Now, when you look at Romans chapter 6, I'm not going to read all of this, but we'll come back. Hold Proverbs 24, and we'll come back. We'll come back to it, and I'm going to just show you some confirmation of what I'm saying here. Now, Romans chapter 6, I don't know if I'm going to read the whole thing. Romans chapter 6, we'll start at verse 1, I guess. But I don't know if we'll read the whole thing. Now, Romans 1, verse 6 says this. Romans 6, I'm sorry, verse 1 says this. What? Shall we say, let me back up. It says, what? Shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Where's grace now? Christ. So does it give Christ glory? I'm going to deal with the word abound. Okay? When you look at the word abound, it means to do, make, or be more abundant, make increase. So what the scripture is saying to us, shall we continue in sin that Christ may increase? Y'all hear me now? It's asking us a question. Do we continue in our sin? Do we fall down and get back up and fall down and get back up so that Christ now can increase? Verse 2 says, God forbid. No. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it longer therein? So he's telling us, how can we fall down and get back up, fall down and get back up? A saint being a sinner who fall down and get back up. How can we do that? He says, y'all forbid. How shall we that are dead? Y'all saying if you dead to something, what is the, I'm trying to keep from here. I'm trying to keep from getting ahead of myself. So I'm going to just stay right here. Y'all forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? That's what I was going to say. Let me quit getting ahead of myself. So what that's saying, if you belong with Jesus, when you were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried, verse 4, with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we. So when Christ got up, we who believe in him supposed to die to something and get up just like he is. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness. What is this sinner falling down stuff? I ain't saying none of us perfect. But what's the danger in that song is that it gives a person the license to not get or strive for perfection. Because in the individual's mind, they come to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm a saint, but I'm just a sinner. who fall down every time I fall down, so I don't have to have no moral conviction about it, because when I do, I'm just going to get back up again, because you know. We just saints who are sinners who fall down, but we get back up, because the scripture said we fall seven times and we get back up. The righteous. Yeah, the righteous do, but not because of sin. Let's look on now. Knowing this, that our old man, wait, let me go back up. I gotta help myself. Verse 4. Therefore are we buried in him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. But what newness? Renewal of life. Zoe. For if we have been planted together in likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. If I belong to him, then I should follow him. How can I belong to him? He ain't falling. How come? What's the deal about me falling all these times and getting back up again? That's a challenge. Because it takes away the excuse now. Because we've lived being comfortable saying, well, you know what, it don't matter. We do it and then we throw the song in and we throw our hands up in praise to it and say a saint is just a sinner who fall down, and that ain't even what the scripture's talking about. Scripture's talking about two categories of people. Warning that a just man who stands for righteousness may have overwhelming circumstances in his or her life, but at the same time, that individual, when overwhelmed or overthrown with situations, fall down or they're overwhelmed, but they always get back up because they dwell in the secret place. Now you understand why when my sister Tanya's son died, she was still going on testifying, and people were wondering, what's wrong with you? Are you going to break down in a minute yet? You mean to tell me you ain't crazy yet? You lost your only child and you still not crazy? Because a just man, when they overwhelmed with a circumstance, get right back up and keep trusting God. What happens when Mama Coach get ran over by a train almost, not clean halfway down the bank or whatever, and you know, almost cost her life, and the doggone attorneys and all the system that's associated with it tried to make it look like it was her fault and came after her with their wicked self? But y'all say, I'm warning you about a just man. A just man can take that stuff and get right back up and trust me again. What you think about Brent? All the stuff he went through. Being accused of something. Being put down. Being called, trying to bring bodily injury with a child and all these kind of things. And go through all that stuff. And y'all said, yeah, for the just man, keep right on trusting me and get right back up and go on. Now, those are just three examples that I use, but put yourself in the shoes of a just man and think about all the time when you weren't doing nothing and somebody decided to attack you just because you was operating in righteousness, and for whatever reason of them attacking you, it put you in a position where you were overwhelmed, maybe. You were overthrown by the circumstance. You weren't expecting people to treat you like that or to approach you that way, but what did you do? Kept right on trusting Yah. Yah said, a just man, go back to the verse now. Yah said, a just man now. Look at verse 16. Verse 15, we'll go back to verse 15 again. He said to the wicked now, lay not in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. So he's warning all those fools, and I'm saying fools because when you look at someone who come against the righteous, they got to be a fool. So y'all is saying to all the fools, he's saying, oh, wicked fool that come against the dwelling place of the righteous. In other words, all wicked who come against the dwelling place of the righteous to spoil his resting place. He said, I'm warning you. Here's why. For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. But you, wicked man, when your day comes, when you get overwhelmed, wicked man, when you fall on your face, wicked man, you're going to be cut off. Righteous man, you will always get back up again. Wicked man, you're going to get cut off in your mess. So a person may say, well, shoot, preacher, people been getting away with that song for a long time now. That's because there wasn't no righteousness established with the word of that song. Now, since righteousness has rightly divided the true meaning of the word, now y'all can do what he's going to do about those who standing on that song. Remember what I always said? Y'all have to take the righteousness and put it on display in order to judge the wicked. So y'all had to show his grace in perspective as far as the song and people standing on that song, because there was no understanding releasing the earth so that he could set up a standard against it. So now, since the standard is set up against it, y'all rest to show you those who want to operate in wickedness and think that they can fall down and just get back up again, watch them get cut off. Look at some old passages. Alan, you had anything you wanted to comment on? Okay. Look at some old passages here. Romans 8. Verse 12. We're just looking at scriptures now to confirm. No, this ain't saying nothing about no wicked man. Romans 6 didn't say nothing about no wicked man. Romans 8. Verse 12 and 13. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We don't owe the flesh nothing. We're debtors not to the flesh. We don't owe the flesh nothing. When you look at debtors, it means sinner. So therefore, brethren, we are not sinners.
Where are you reading from now, Pastor?
It's Romans 8, verse 12 and 13.
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry, just keep asking, Mama, because I don't mind. Romans 8, verse 12 and 13, because I know I'm going kind of fast. Romans 8, verse 12 and 13 says, therefore, brethren, we are sinners. It says debtors, not to the flesh. In other words, we're not sinners to the flesh. Okay? Word debtors means which owes, sinner. Okay? Delinquent morally. So he's letting us know that we're not indebted to the flesh. When you look at the flesh, it means the soul, okay, the human nature. That is a deeper understanding of the word belly. When you get to the word belly, it's the nature of the individual. When you deal with the word spirit, a lot of time it means the mind. But when you associate the spirit with the word belly, it means there's something going on with your mind that gets down in you, and it's now your nature, it's who you are, or who we are. Okay? So verse 12 said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're not debtors. Now, when you look at the word debtor again, it means which old sinner. That's the word I really want you to understand, because the song is saying we are a saint is just a sinner, but the scripture is saying that we ain't in debt. We ain't in debt to sin. We're not sinners. If we're the brethren and we have died with Christ and rose with him again, it says we're not debted to that. We're not in debt to the flesh. That contradicts the scripture. Says we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13, For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now this is talking about both a spiritual and a physical, because when you look at the, you know, from a spiritual standpoint or a mind standpoint or a ability standpoint, the nature, the mind, the soul, the nature standpoint, it is letting us know that if we live by the flesh or live indebted to the flesh, then we're going to die. We're going to be separated from Yah, and we're going to end up dying physically with eternal separation. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die, colon. But if ye live through the Spirit, through your mind, okay, the perspective as far as the way of thinking, your nature, again, the ability, the nature. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, what the word mortify mean? The word mortify means kill. So that tell me it's something about me that is not like Yah that I gotta kill. Go ahead.
You say spirit, but it's spirit with a capital S. Does that mean the mind of Yah?
You say okay. I didn't pay attention to that capital S. That capital S means. You can say the mind of Yah, but in a nutshell, it means the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Yah. True. So when you see capital S as far as spirit is concerned, because when you look at the meaning of the word, I just looked at the word spirit without dealing with the capital A, capitalization, never been it right, of the word. And I'm glad you brought that out, because when you deal with the word spirit and the small S, it deals with the mind. But when you look at the capital S, it is showing us clearly in Scripture that it's referencing, like Alan said, a mind of Yah or clearly the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it says, if ye live after the... wait a minute. Let me go back up. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through... That's why it says through. Through the Spirit or through the Holy Spirit. That through lets us know that it's from a perspective of now we have an influence from Yah's mind, and that's the Holy Spirit. So I'm glad you did point out that.
Yeah, that's right. Because, I mean, if it's just our spirit, then that would be
flesh, right? So I'm glad that you brought that up, because that capital S is important. Because when you look at the word spirit, it does mean the mind, the rational soul, so to speak, the belly, from a perspective of the word spirit. But when it's capitalized, that's when you look at all of the definition that you pull out the Holy Spirit. So that's very true. Okay. And so I'm glad you helped us with that. Because that's very true. Now, when you look at, again, verse 13, it says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay? Ye shall live. Let's look at another scripture. Galatians 5, we may not read all of it, but I'm just showing you different scriptures to confirm what Proverbs is saying. Remember, when we do things, y'all, we have to be able to confirm it precept upon precept, line upon line. It ain't nowhere you're going to be able to find that song precept upon precept, line upon line. That's why you know it's an abomination to Yah. Because it's not precept upon precept, line upon line. You cannot run scripture references to confirm what that song says. Okay, now, Galatians 5, verse 16. We'll start at verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, that's the capital S, glad Adam brought that up, make us pay attention to it. Walk in the Spirit, so walk in the Holy Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is walking in the Holy Spirit, y'all? Y'all better not mess this up. What is walking in the Holy Spirit? Come on, y'all. We've been dealing with it forever. I'm trying to help you best I can. What is walking in the Spirit? How can you walk in the Spirit? How can you do it if you don't know? What have we been talking about before in the G-Race? What have we been talking about in the G-Race? Those who are what? Those who are the sons of God. Yeah. Those who are what?
Those who are what?
Well, come on, y'all. Those who are what? By the Spirit of Yah are the sons of Yah. Huh? Led. Led. So I left the verse, but, you know, I read 13 and 14, but verse 14 is the next verse. Those who are led, so it lets us know. So when you look at these scriptures, it is confirming. It is confirming what the Spirit is saying. It is confirming what Yah is saying. So when you look at the verse now, it's verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk, be led in the Spirit, or be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit is one and the same. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill. So Yah is saying, if you belong to me, let me change that, since you belong to me, let me lead you and you won't have to worry about your flesh. The reason why a so-called saint falls down is because they're not led by the Spirit. Period. That means now if I'm a saint who's just a sinner who's falling down and getting back up. Now I'm John 1 and 12. I got the power to become. I just refuse to activate it. For as many as believe, to them gave ye the power to become the sons of God. Sons of Yah. If I'm constantly being a saint, going and hearing all this word and hearing, getting understanding, and every time you look around, I'm falling down, I'm getting back up, and I'm falling down, and I'm getting back up, then I'm not activating the prayer. Y'all is like blind leading. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Ain't nothing about me sinning want to get along with the Spirit. Every time I get crazy, the Spirit ain't nowhere on my mind. He can't lead me when I get crazy. I'm just saying that from the perspective of getting some understanding, because I am crazy and he do still lead me at times. He'd be like, I'm going to just let you go and get over there and act the fool, boy. When you get through with you, I'm going to whoop you, though. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other. How can I be both and they contrary? Unless the saint ain't what this scripture talks about. Now, that could be as far as this Christianity saint that they talking about. Maybe that is a saint that's a sinner. But this saint that y'all is talking about in the scripture is a saint that must understand that the flesh and the spirit, they war against one another. They contrary. They ain't getting along. So they ain't both hanging out with me in the same place. Sounds good. It just ain't preceptually right. Precept up on precept, line up on line. Right. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary. The word contrary means they're adversary. They oppose one another. So I can't be walking in righteousness and walking in sin at the same time. They're contrary. So I can't be a saint. It's just a sin. It goes against the Scripture. Now, here it is, to confirm it. Now, verse 18. Wait a minute, verse 17. It got more good stuff in there. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. What is it talking about that ye would? Verse 18. But if ye be led by the spirit, ye are not under the law. Y'all seeing this? Now, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Ye are not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murderers, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why can I be both? Go ahead. Exactly.
Interested in light of, what's going on in the world
today. Right. And so you'll get a lot of church folks that stand out there and be a part of those riots. And y'all's like, that ain't me. I'm saying this. Do I already raise another one? We're going to stop here. Let me see. You can just write these as far as your notes are concerned, and we'll go ahead and stop right here, and I'll go back to proper, and we'll finish up. Put in your notes, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 10. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 10. 2 Peter 1, verse 4 through 10. 2 Peter 1, verse 4 through 10. Just to cover all the scriptures that confirms what we're dealing with, is Romans 6, verse 1 through 23. Romans 8, verse 12 through 14. We'll deal with verse 14 since it says those that are led by the Spirit of Yah, the sons of Yah. Romans 8, verse 12 through 14. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 10. 2 Peter 1, verse 4 through 10. Now, we'll go back to Proverbs, and we'll just finish up. Now, with the understanding of those scriptures, we'll read it again as we get ready to close. Proverbs 24, verse 15 says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Okay? Any questions or comments?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I've worked in clubs all my life.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of y'all have been I'm bouncing, working different clubs, even strip clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of deacons, pastors, hanging out in the club. And I'm like, what church you go to? You know, I say, well, I'm not going to church right now. And he looked at me like, who are you with Jim? That would always be their word. Because I would see a lot of pastors in the club. A lot. Especially same thing about the people that came to the club. On Saturday night, they drunk. Oh, I'm going to get up and go to church. You going to go to church? And they do the same thing in every week, in and out. Same thing. And I'm like, wow, how do y'all do that? How do you go to church in not get drunk to be with a person. Don't tell them what that type of drug they're doing. And they just continue that on and on and on and on. And by you playing that song and making that song made me realize the thing that I was actually around and I saw with my own eyes. I tell Tanya that a lot about a lot of songs that I hear on the radio. Some of the songs just made for just to make some money off.
Yes, sir. I mean that really is what it's about. We live in a society that Christianity has catered. It's kind of like the same way that the early saints did by allowing people to bring paganism into Christianity just so that they can have folks, you know, so that they can reach these what they call pagans and heathens and things like that. That's the same thing today. You have the church that's compromised. If you notice, matter of fact, there was a guy, I may show you this video one day. There was a guy who did a video, and he was showing how everything that the church does, pretty much, the same thing is in the world. I mean, he took things that preachers say and all that. And he just took a whole bunch of stuff and just put it all together, and was showing how the same thing that happened in the church is the same thing they do in the world. He even showed rap video, and he was showing how the churches were doing Christian rap, and then he'll convert the video to show at a hip hop concert. It was like the same thing. They were saying the same thing, doing the same thing. Then he showed how you have certain kind of dancing and stuff like that was going on in the world, and he showed that same type of stuff going on in the church. He was just showing the comparison where, you know, like Brother Law is saying, that the church is so compromised with the world in order to cater, or what they said, reach the world, that the church has become more like the world instead of the world like the church. And so people now have taken songs like these, and I just want to use that as an example. It's not to criticize the artist, it's just to show how things can be taken out of its contextual meaning as far as the scripture is concerned, and then be used from a perspective of how things are understood to totally cause people to take that song and use it as an avenue to do things they don't have the business doing. And so I've seen so many times over the years where people have, you know, maybe posted that song on Facebook or whatever and said, you know, well, man, I was listening to this song, man, because I messed up and I just said, you know. And it's time for us to raise the standard. That's all I'm saying, in a nutshell. And we can't use that song as the avenue to justify ourselves for the things that we do that we know that we shouldn't. Okay. And so from that perspective, I wanted to deal with it. I wanted to lay it out there and allow you to see it for what it is. Because, matter of fact, I think this is the scripture whereby it is quoted in that song, but I can't remember. I wanted to really find out, but I think it is the one that is used. Like, I'm pretty sure, in the 90% plus sure, that is a passage whereby it's used. I think he quoted it. I think he either quoted it wrong. He quoted the passage wrong, whatever, the scripture wrong, but he said these words. And so I just wanted to make a correction so that we can walk in understanding and just from a perspective of humility and wanting to see Yah glorified instead of us. It's just another pillar knocked off the walls or the foundation of the church. It's time out for making excuses now since we understand. You watch Yah start dealing with this stuff. Any questions or comments? If not, I'm going to let you go.
I got one more question.
Go ahead.
What made you pick that song?
I was reading Proverbs. I was reading Proverbs 24.
And that phone came on?
No. I was reading Proverbs 24, and as soon as I read the passage, Yah dropped the song in my mind and said, this is what has been used to lead the masses into being comfortable with a sinful lifestyle. And I was just reading the scriptures. And so once he revealed it to me, he was like, you got to deal with it, and you got to teach the church. You got to teach the church the harmful effect. Although, again, the gentleman probably had no intentions of perverting someone, but then, I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt. Just always trying to find the good out of somebody. Probably had no intentions of leading somebody astray, but that's what it's done. That's why it's vital for us to walk in understanding, so that we can repair the breaches. Okay. Yeah, anything else? Make sure you say a line up for Mama Coach Kim.
How is that any different than
each teacher? Yeah.
You said what now? How is that any different than, when Revelation, where it says in the latter days they were each of themselves teachers, having each in years?
I'll take that from a perspective of trying to see the best in someone. We've all been in circumstance. I've even preached, before I come into the understanding that I have now. We've all been in circumstance where we've been misled or have misled based upon the understanding of scriptures ourselves. And so, when you look at it from that perspective, it does have a valid point in that because of the itching ears of people and because of the lack of studying of pastors, we have these type of songs that's produced. They got a good, melody, it has a good, however you want to put it. The song sounds really good and things like that. How much Yah would have been glorified if it just would have been told in the right perspective, and how many people it could have encouraged to stand for righteousness instead of saying, "Well, I'm gonna go do this because I know I can. I'm just a sinner. I'm gonna fall down," that type of deal. So yeah, in a nutshell, it is a manifestation of Timothy, where you have people not enduring sound doctrine, and from that standpoint, we're producing. Or I'm not going to say we. From that standpoint, a lot of things are being produced, whether that's messages, songs, dance, all these things are being produced in a way that that doesn't glorify Yah, instead of doing it to glorify Yah. I just recently wrote a post about David dancing, and David danced clean, get people say he danced out of his clothes. I don't quite know how he did it, just per se, not thinking about the scriptures right off the top of my head, but I do know he was getting down so much he had to get out of his king clothes, so he's rejoicing and having fun. And so I said, from this perspective, it's not in how we rejoice or how we dance. It's just that things have been so perverted to the point to where we've taken things that Yah gets glory out of, and now it's being done in a perverted way and have taken the glory away from Yah. Because when you look at us as a people, and we'll find out, especially when we get back in the land, we're going to be getting down, and we're going to be, we're going to be shaking it up like David did. And David was like, I'll be more vile, I'll be even more vile in your eyes when it comes down to me praising Yah. And so, so from that perspective, if there are things that we learn how to do, but at the same time allow Yah to be the center of our life, he can be glorified out of it. And I use case in point, I'm getting ready to close. Maya and I, we danced for her wedding. It was from a perspective that that made people see that, you know what, you can love Yah and you can still have fun. You can still enjoy yourself, and you can still, you know, you can still celebrate during a celebration, and Yah still be the center of your life. And that's one thing I try to do. That's why I kind of think out of the box and do things out of the box from a perspective of showing a side that will make a person think on Yah, not me, but think on Yah. Everything I do is with a purpose. It makes them that questions a religious perspective of a thing. That's why I do the things that I do. I challenge a religious perspective and bring glory to Yah from a perspective of challenging that religious perspective. I'm not going to take the scripture and pervert it to do something. That's when it becomes corrupt. When we take foundational truth and pervert it just to justify ourselves. I'm not going to do that. Alrighty. Any other questions or comments? Alright. Father Yah, we just bless your name on today. We thank you for just another facet of understanding. Just continue to lead and guide us in truth and bless us to make all the adjustments that's necessary as we come into an understanding of you. We give you the glory in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.